Bratři,
brothers and sisters, in the last 10 days, all types of media have been preoccupied who will give faster and better information about the World Football Championship that these days is taking place in Brazil, and with the purpose to draw the attentions of listeners and of the viewers and or the readers. The whole world is looking at the football stars. Every single move they make is followed. The best goals and the best actions are shown few times, and then it seems that in the center there is only a success and not human being, because no one likes losers. It's also interesting to notice that we spend quite a lot of time before a TV screen, either at home or outside somewhere with our friends. At least 2 hours prior to the football game, we get together with our friends and we prepare ourselves to cheer for our team. Then after the football match, we stay and hang around for a few more hours, regardless of when the football match started. It's important to be there, to be part of the time we belong to, and to cheer for your team. However, when on Sunday we are to go to Holy Mass, or when the evening prayer starts, straight away we feel sleepy or we have something else to do. That enthusiasm of us cheering is totally down. We as Catholics and as believers should be engaged in sports, culture, science, and in all the fields of our life, because God has given us this world, this earth, to form and shape it in freedom. However, God has to be in the first place, and not the television, computer, cell phone, or any football star. Because if God is not God, then human being is not human being. Human being loses its essence, loses the compass, and starts turning around himself. But if God is in the first place, then everything else is at the right place. Yet if God is not in the first place, then nothing is at the right place. Apart from those who use their time in vain, there are other people who do things at the right time. Those who love life and who, in a right way, are using the time given to them. They're never in a hurry, and yet they're always there for everything on time. The time granted to us here on the earth is limited, and therefore it's precious, and we should make good use of it. An old proverb says that every moment of time is a piece of gold. We are invited to find balance in our everyday life and work. And as we find time to work, to study, to play, to have a rest, in that same way, we should find time for prayer, for a personal, spiritual life, so that God may be more present in our hearts and in our lives. We have to pray more, and we have to love more, because those who love can obtain anything. Those who do not have time for prayer, they do not love God, and all the time they have problems with either themselves or the other people. Slowly, it seems, somehow it seems that this 33rd anniversary of Our Lady's Apparition is somewhere in the shadow of the big World Football Championship. Our Lady here in Medjugorje hasn't been speaking for 10 days or a month, but she has been speaking for 33 years and has been inviting us to decide for true values, for prayer, for fasting, for conversion, for forgiveness. reading the sacred scripture, confession in Holy Mass. Millions of pilgrims have come to Medjugorje. Thousands of faithful have been healed here from either spiritual or physical illnesses. Hundreds and hundreds of priests received their vocation here in Medjugorje. Millions are those who found the purpose of their life here, those who met their soul and who reconciled with their neighbors, and they met God here. That's why it's important to emphasize that the main purpose of every pilgrimage, and this one in Medjugorje as well, is to meet the living God. Because after meeting the living God, nothing is the same. We start looking at the world with new, different eyes, with God's eyes. In the most extraordinary way, we meet Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. Then we meet Him in the Bible and everywhere else where two or three are gathered in His name. Medjugorje reminds us all the time of God's permanent love. And Medjugorje is the source of peace, place of conversion and of faith. And to convert means to change the old way, the old style of life. It means to leave behind selfishness, pride, egoism, and to turn to forgiveness, to goodness, and love. Every conversion has two steps. First, to renounce the sins, and the second one, to open ourselves to the love of God. The conversion consists in loving God more every day and people, and in giving up sins, especially those that overcome us very often. It's necessary to return to God to make a turning point, and that means to turn your head away from evil, from bad, and turn your face towards love and God's face. We pray together with Saint Augustine, Lord, make me virtuous, but not yet. There is time. Wait for a while. Allow me to live my life for a while, to enjoy my life for a while. In that way, we delude ourselves and we take the wrong way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. That is the way that brings us to the kingdom of God, and there is no other way. Everything else are sideways.
Thanks
to Medjugorje, many have started a new life in truth. And this evening, I would like to share with you a testimony of John Willey, an American who converted and who is describing his life pathway, which was not really straight. In June, in 1994, I turned my back to church, God, and my priesthood. The decision to abandon all what I appreciated for long did not come overnight. I made that decision during a long period of time, and I said that I won't go back to the church, that I won't go back to the priesthood. And the years after me giving up on priesthood were very difficult and tempting. But when I made the decision, there was no point in returning. Point of return. And one priest asked me, have you ever thought of coming back? But I said to him, that's not possible, because I stopped believing. Spiritually, I was at the bottom. In August of 88, my friend came back from Medjugorje, and he spoke to me about children who said that they were able to see and speak to Our Lady, that Our Lady was giving messages to the parish and to the world. And I said to that friend of mine that I did not believe in the apparitions, and that I did not believe in miracles. A few weeks after that, I was watching a program, Pittsburgh Today, and the second part of that program was dedicated to these extraordinary events taking place in a small village in former Yugoslavia called Medjugorje. Four people were sharing their experiences connected to the apparitions, and one of them was a journalist from Pittsburgh Television. There were two lawyers who were witnessing, a husband and wife, and also a lady who claimed that through the intercession of Our Lady of Medjugorje, she was healed from multiple sclerosis. And from totally unknown reason, I decided to record that program, hoping that I will be able to look at it later on. And I did. Not only once, twice, but three times. I watched that program all over again, and I couldn't stop watching. I wanted to know more about this, so I wrote a letter to the Pittsburgh TV station asking for more information. And thanks to Medjugorje, and thanks to God's grace, slowly but securely, my life started changing. What happened to me, it's hard to explain, because it didn't happen in an ordinary way. All of a sudden, I understood that I believe again. There were no doubts anymore, no questioning. I started believing again. Thank God, I started believing. In the last 18 years prior to that moment, I did not go to confession, and I wanted to find a priest to tell him all about this, and I looked for a Franciscan in Pittsburgh Church, and I went to confession, and after many, many years, for the first time, I was spiritually purified. I did not think about going back to the priesthood. I was happy with the faith that I found again. And then this happened. It was Saturday morning, 1988, 24th of September. I woke up at 5:30 in the morning. And the first thought in my mind was, I should go back to priesthood. It seemed like a dream, but I did not stop thinking about it. That thought of going back to the priesthood followed me all the weekend, haunted me, and I went to my parish priest to ask for information, and the parish priest said he would make a few inquiries. Supposing that all that would be forgotten in a few days, I said that I was not in a hurry. I was happy with my work, with my job, and I wanted it to stay that way. I was afraid. Simply said, I was afraid. The parish priest said to me that there was a possibility for me to go back to the priesthood, but I was to renew my knowledge of canon law and sacred scripture, and if I pass that, they would reconsider my request, and decision then would be made. Then I started studying again, and I renewed my knowledge in a period of 11 months. One day, the bishop called me, and he had good news. Rome answered positively to my request, and they brought me back to the priesthood. I was so happy. I thought I would cry. I felt like on the day of my ordination in 1954. Then I went on a pilgrimage to Medjugorje to give thanks to God and True Lady for graces and blessings I received. The highlight of my pilgrimage was when I climbed the cross mountain, when I knelt to give thanks to God for everything. I was encompassed and overcome by an enormous joy, and the tears of joy started coming out of my eyes. My brothers and sisters, this is just one of many amazing stories that happen here. God just asks of us to give our consent. He just asks of us to do His will. And the will of God is our salvation. God does not want anything else but for us to be saved and to be with unity in Him. He gave Mary to John as the mother from the cross. He said to John, "Behold your mother," and he said to Mary, "Behold your son." In that way, Mary has become the mother of the whole humankind. The time we live in, it's not easy. There are many crises. Youth is in the difficulty. They're very often victims. They grew up educated by wrong values. They lie themselves, they lie other people, and in that way they become objects of consumerism. Attacked by all sides, youth remain as orphans without love. Our Lady is the mother to all those children. She loves them, she embraces them, and she wants to bring them back to her son. Every mother is a pillar of nation and pillar of the family. If there were no mothers, we would not be existing, and we wouldn't be existing without mothers' love. Every mother has to be loved. Everything that can be applied to our earthly mothers, all that and even more can be applied to our Heavenly Mother. She is our intercessor. She is the one who invites us at all times and says to us, "Go to my Son Jesus." She brings us to the only and perfect source of love. Those who made choice for Jesus never repented. Brothers and sisters, we are all invited to start Our Lady's school of love and humbleness. And we need to learn from her to read the signs of time through which God manifests His will and His closeness. May her, the Queen of Peace, help us to enter more profoundly the mystery of the Eucharist, which forever is the remaining sign of Lord's presence in our midst, and that we may be witnesses to all this till the end of times and the end of our lives. Let us now stand up and let us pray the Creed.